a lot of people just can't get over like this like ethical or them feeling like a fraud or this imposter syndrome. But you talk about an author in your book, that main author, what's his name? The big one where he's like, Gerber? He ended up hiring people to write.
Tom Clancy.
Yeah. Tom Clancy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they, like, people don't realize like Steve Jobs, Tom Clancy, Andy Warhol, Oprah, Buffett. Like this is the pattern that all Elon, they all follow it. Gary Vee, all of them follow the same process, except nobody knows.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley, as usual, Kel Goodman.
What's up, what's up?
Guys, today we're honored to have this individual in our office and have him give us some of his time. Because he did just write the book, Buy Back Your Time, and he definitely values his time. You could tell, when you dive into the book, I'm only 40 pages in, but I'm telling you, you could have wrote that book in the first 40 pages, and it could have been a bestseller just right there. So brother, I'm excited. No, for real. Wait,
well, you got to read the rest, bro.
I'm not shelving it. I'm just saying, like, I've got so many takeaways out of it.
I knew he would love the beginning of it, because Trev is all about the mindset, the personal growth, the overcoming. And I'm a lot about, like, the tactics, right? And so you really get into it. Well, and I really like his tactics are, like, really about getting entrepreneurs to live again, right? Because,
I'm on a mission. It's very clear. I want to teach entrepreneurs how to build companies they don't grow to hate.
That's it. And 99.9% of them end up resenting the very thing that is feeding their family, giving them the lifestyle that at one point they dreamed of. It just now comes at a price, and they're the ones that's in the way.
And we've been there.
Yeah.
We've been there, dude. Those last 2 years were so brutal. And like when you talk about stalling and things like that, I think me and Trip both were like, oh my gosh, maybe we just need to have a small company. Maybe we just need to be okay with what we got instead of growing. And that mindset starts seeping in, and it's horrible, man.
But let's talk about that. If we would have read your book three years ago.
Well, I don't even know if I intro'd you yet. Dan Martel.
Welcome.
We just want to jump in and get to the fucking meat and potato.
Let's go.
That's true.
So anyways, dude, we're excited to have you. But cool. Your book is amazing so far. And it just resonates with me a lot because as Kel said, I mean, we got to the point where we built it $16, $17 million and then the pain. And you're just bumping up against that threshold of how far you could drag this thing with the knowledge or expertise that you have. And it's like, I'm a hustler. I'm not going to quit. Eventually the pain gets so strong that either you're going to want to burn the thing down, the very thing that could be this beautiful thing, provided you get out of your own way, or you just say, okay, we're not going to grow anymore. I'm good making a couple million dollars a year. But at the same time, you got people in your organization that you got to create opportunities for.
This is
the problem. And if you hit the ceiling, then it's a ceiling for everybody.
Yeah, my philosophy, and I talked about, you kind of brought it up. The pain line is the point where growth equals pain in your calendar.
Yeah.
So as soon as you ask yourself, if I triple next month my revenue, my opportunity, if that would create massive pain, most people will not do it, and they do one of three things. The stall out of the three S's versus sabotage and sell. It's subtle, right? It's like, I made more money last year working way less. And they go, I'm just going to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But as you mentioned, here's the deal. Like the customer demand on what you provide isn't going to reduce. And ain't going to stay the same. And if you don't grow, they're going to leave. The market's not stalling. Like GDP growth happens every year, whether we like it or not. So the world and the other opportunities, competitors are going to come out.
Yep.
And then the worst one, you mentioned the people. If we don't create a vision big enough for everybody on our team's dreams and goals to fit inside of, the best people are going to leave.
Yeah.
The people that are holding this business together today that you love, that you think are going to be there till the end of times with you. Hey man, they got a vision. They got a life. They got ambition they want to go for. And if you can't provide that to them, you think you're going to stall, you're going to lose your best people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we realized. And as you, we didn't really lose our best people.
Yeah.
We didn't, that's what we realized just like, okay. And it's tough. Like you want somebody to treat your business like it's their baby too. And the only way, and again, I would love your insight on this. The only way that we've figured it out, like we have another company across town, We gave that individual 15% ownership. He bought some equity, but he operates it on a day-to-day basis. The cool thing is he treats it like it's his business and his baby, because it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we chat with him, you know, once a month for an hour, and we get checks from that company, right? Yep. And then with this company that we did 16, 17, you know, we hit that threshold, and it's just like, okay, like, fuck this place. I just want to burn it all down. Like, it just comes with... the business just reminds you of headaches, problems, stress. And why do you want to put yourself in an environment that reminds you of headaches, problems, and stress? Mm. Right. And so it's like, we need to find somebody that's been there, done that, and has a different level of expertise than us. So we have Devin, right? Yeah. And he's helped scale and exit Squatty Potty. They did the whole Shark Tank deal, all that. Yeah. And he's a CPA by trade. We're not CPAs. We're not accountants. We're originally sales guys that are like, hey, we think that we could do this better than CPAs and accountants. Like, we can communicate better. We understand where the pain points were in the industry, and we set out to try to solve those pain points because we're the end customer. We dealt with CPAs and accountants that didn't communicate well, that didn't give us our P&Ls. And so we're like, man, if we can just handle those two things and do it very well, we can separate ourselves in the marketplace, right? But then it gets to a point where we could sell, and then fulfillment gets tough. It's the operations side. And, you know, we bring them in, we give them a good salary and some equity, right? So I don't know if in your companies that's what you've done as well, in order to slowly kind of phase back, is, you know, give people opportunities that are really your pillars, some form of equity, so that they're treating the business like it is theirs.
I've never ran a company where I didn't give my partners equity ownership. Dude, when people show up as owners, not renters, think about it. You go into a neighborhood, you guys do real estate, like you have a house, and you can tell in the neighborhood which house is occupied by a renter.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Like they don't take care of it. Yeah. They don't cut the grass. Yeah. There's garbage out front. They park old cars. You're like, what? You know, an owner wouldn't do that because that's their pride, right? Yeah. Mm. So a long, long time ago, one of my mentors taught me, he's like, look, and it's not that crazy. Some people are like, well, what if I give the wrong person equity and blah, blah, blah. There's ways to do it. Phantom stock and restricted stock. Yep. Like, so figure it out. Talk to the guys.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. People will show up completely different when they feel like they have a piece of this.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, one of my favorite things, my true driving energetic force across all businesses that I absolutely love, is making people wealthy.
Yeah. Mm.
It is the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
When you meet somebody like my business partner, Sam, who you guys have been running around six years ago, I meet him, he's 15 or 16. Okay.
Was he cutting your grass or something?
No, man. He was a high school student. He was editing videos behind the scenes, working with my creative director. I didn't even really talk to him.
Yeah.
But to see him evolve. And then about a year ago, I decided I'm building this media company and I want to build it with Sam. And I said, I want you to be my partner.
Yeah.
So every one of my companies have partners, but this is the kicker. To be a partner of mine, minimum, you got to be on my team for 3 years, right? You got to work with me.
Yeah.
I can't work with you until I work with you.
Yeah.
Dude, you know.
Somebody can put on a front for 6 months.
Oh my gosh. Until we go through a battle.
Yeah.
Until we go through a moment where your internal trauma, capital T trauma, I need to see.
Yeah.
Are you going to give up?
Yes.
Are you going to, you know? And so, like, I've gone to war. Sam's been around me long enough. He's been through the ups and downs.
How do you react in chaos?
Dude, I would try. And he's been around my family. I trust him with my kids. So, to me, 3 years, equity for sure. I call you my partner. I treat you like a partner. I invest in you like a client that I coach, you know, because I coach a lot of high-end people, but I coach those partners the same level. And they have to show me that they will drive forward even in absence of my presence.
Yep. Mm.
That's the kicker.
Yep.
Do not give equity to people that does not drive forward in your absence, because those people think, well, you should get a piece of equity. You didn't earn it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm going to write you a big check. You're going to be happy. And if it's not enough, go somewhere else.
Yeah, how do you hold that overall leadership position and maintain not being distracted by all the different projects that you have going on, right? Like, I know when me and Trevor, like, hey, we're doing this RBO thing, it's taken off. Like, it started kind of becoming a distraction for me, but he was like very talented at it and he had like a different vision than me. So I was like, bro, like, just not that long ago, I was like, you need to run your vision. I need to keep running my vision on like the biz dev of like easier accounting and cause that's what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And then but it's like at one point I was kind of like, man, like, be the leader, Devin. But it's like, you do still have to make sure that they still see you as like the leader, and you have to hold that, and you have to grow for that.
I think what I've gotten good at is I always revisit the commitments I've made to others. Mm. And I'm very sensitive to that, because I did not do that in the past, where I would, like, you know, my first company, you know, a couple million in revenue, and I meet some guy at a thing and I decide to invest in the business, and I think, well, with my help and my capital, they'll be successful. Those are like run from those deals.
You give them a couple ingredients and then
If the only reason they'll be successful is because you're involved in the business, run. I literally, just this morning, I had breakfast with a guy and he told me about a deal, and I was like, I want to invest. They go, they just closed the round. I said, I need it. I want to get into the deals that don't need my money, don't need my time, and then it's additive, right? Mm. So before I go take on a new project, I always ask myself, who have I made commitments to? And I need to go renegotiate or talk to them about it, because I need them to understand. So like when I started, the book came out. So when
you're going to have to adjust your commitments,
before you say yes,
communication has to happen.
Go back. Gotcha. Your wife wants the same thing, boys.
Yeah.
You don't realize it when you're at the office and somebody says, hey man, we're gonna do this new project, and you know it's gonna take a couple nights and weekends, and you don't talk to your partner. And this is the kicker, man. My wife was never mad at me if I had to do it. She just wanted to be talked to prior.
Respected.
She's like, why didn't you? I would have been okay, but you didn't tell me. And then 3 days this week, you didn't come home till after dinner.
Yeah.
And that's not like you, and you haven't told me what's going on. It's like, so I'm very sensitive today, was not good at this in the past.
Yeah.
That like when I started the media company after the book came out, and I was like, okay, let's stop being amateur hour in the content
game. Let's go all in.
Let's go pro.
Yeah.
Before I did that, I went back to all my partners. And I said, here's what I'm planning on doing. I want you to stress test it, validate it. Is this, you feel like it's in a hand grenade that I'm throwing in the business? Do we have the right people in place? And they looked at it and they said, well, what about this? And I said, here's the answer. Yeah. What about this? Here's the answer. No, you got my blessing.
Good. Yeah.
So I didn't do it until I renegotiated the commitments I'd made to others.
You have some people say, I don't know if that's a good idea. We need you here. Well, and it's just more personal. Maybe lack of confidence in themselves and feeling like they still kind of just want and need you there when they really don't need you there.
No, I think the question is how I ask the question that gets me around that. So here's the question. What needs to be true for you to feel more supported?
Yeah.
Think about that question.
Yeah.
So if you're my business partner, I say, hey, I'm going to go do this thing, and I just need to ask you one question. What would need to be true for you to feel even more supported by me doing this?
That's a good question.
And you know really what good. They said? If, you know, in the book example, well, is there a way for the media stuff you go do to support my lead gen over here?
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
So as soon as they connected that, then they were like, can you please go do this as much as you can? Because it's going to make my life easier.
Go all in on it and funnel leads over here.
Yeah. Or one partner's like, well, if you do that, then we're going to have to hire somebody to do this and this. And I said, approved.
Cool.
Done. Call HR. Let's do it. Yeah. So it's literally just a... Just give me the list. I think too often in business and life, we want to do stuff and we don't even ask ourselves, like, you know, like if you're listening to this and you don't like I remember when I moved back to my little hometown to raise our children when they were younger, I was working with my coach, Marcy, at the time. And I was just in a head funk because I was living in San Francisco in the heat of like the Silicon Valley and like just the energy. And I moved to like, you know, Eastern Canada, a little town.
The frequency was negative there.
I was missing it. And she asked me this beautiful question. She said, what would need to be true for you to love this even more? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, make a list. I said, what do you mean make a list? She's like, give yourself permission to dream a little bit. There's no restraints, no constriction. Just write a list down. Mm. And it's not like I couldn't afford, I literally wrote down, well, I want a swim spa hot tub. I want a side-by-side. I got a razor. Yeah. I got a razor. I got a Raptor. Put that down there.
Yeah.
And I just made a list. I want to meet with entrepreneurs once a week. Yeah. And I think there was like 11 things on that list.
Was jet on there?
No. This is before I had jet money. Okay. Yeah. And
he had razor money at the
end. Yeah, I had razor money and Raptor money. Yeah. and I'll tell you, man, like, it changed my experience with my old small town. And all of a sudden I enjoyed it. I still got on a plane once every 7 weeks to go do the tour. Mm. But I just think people don't ask themselves like what would need to be true for this to be even cooler and make the list and give themselves permission to put themselves first.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Good.
Let's bring up your youth. Mm. You know, I like, cause before you get into the book, you know, you do the introduction part of, hey, I'm Dan and I'm a fuck up from youth. and I got back. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what it is, right? Yeah.
Like, I was surprised by it because the couple of times we've met you, I'm like, I would never picture that before.
The hood Dan don't come across. I mean,
But I would have ran amok with you. Yeah, you know, I've been in DT or whatever, juvenile detention or whatever. The problem was, is I didn't, you know, have the security guy there to come talk to me. Brian wasn't there for me. All my friends were in there, though, so it was actually fun.
Yeah,
to go to DT or juvenile detention.
A lot of these kids actually keep going back because it's a better life than the life they're experiencing outside.
You know, so after, you know, I turned 18, then it turned into jail here and there, right? Before then, it was like my wife's like, hey, I'm, you know, pregnant. I'm like, oh, shit. Well, now my decisions, well, she wasn't my wife then, but affect other people. And so that's when I straightened out. Mm. So my now wife was my Brian. Talk about your and why do you feel like you went down that path? Did you have a trouble, like the parents? Like, what was the situation there?
You know, it's kind of funny because, like, looking back today, like, my dad's my best friend.
Yeah.
I talk to my mom once a week. Like, anybody that would see, you know, my brother won Entrepreneur Award. Like, I won Canadian Entrepreneur in 2008. My brother won it in 2011.
The builder?
Yeah. Then we have another brother, Mo, and they told my dad if Mo ever won it, that they'd give an award to my dad.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Now, unfortunately, Mo ain't driven as everybody else. I'm like, Dad.
Hey, maybe you need to make him a partner in one of your businesses.
Maybe just that's how we do it, just so that he could win it. But, you know, to look at our life today and to where I came from, it literally is like, this ain't real. And so I think what was true about my childhood, my mom was an alcoholic.
Okay.
Yeah, she drank a lot. There was a lot of emotional abuse. She didn't know any better. Her parents, she was adopted. Her parents were both alcoholics. Right? A lot of therapy since then. It's awesome, the relationship we have today. She's gone through it, but it took a while. My dad was in sales, and back then he was like traveling around, so he wasn't home. Mm. I got diagnosed with ADHD when 11, like hard H, hyperactive. Like, you guys feel the energy?
Yeah.
Imagine a fucking 5-year-old. And we have 4, and they're just trying to figure out where's Daniel. I'm French, okay? So I grew up, and like, I remember my dad will joke, he goes like, man, when he was a kid, like, we're like, where's Daniel? And all of a sudden I'm on the roof. Okay. Yeah. And I'm throwing things off with parachutes. Cause I'm like, this is so cool. And then I'm like, hey guys, like, you know, put the trampoline over here and watch this, you know, like
jumping off.
And yeah. So that translated at school. I got kicked out of, you know, I got in trouble in grade 4, 5, 6, you know, put in a special class where, you know, they had a little bit more supervision, and then it just got crazy. So I had a huge anger issue and I didn't know why for a long time. You know, years later in therapy, I found out that it's because anytime I acted out at home, my mom would have to call my dad and he'd have to come home.
Mm.
So imagine.
Figured it out.
Yeah.
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 Well, it was all subconscious stuff as a kid.
I didn't do it intentionally, but I just knew if I punched a hole in the wall, my mom would call my dad and say, Victor, you got to get in the car and drive home if it's 2-3 hours. Yeah. And look, I got the attention, not the attention I wanted.
Yeah.
But I got the attention.
Are your kids ADHD? They inherit it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got 3 out of my 5,
beautiful,
man.
And they're beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, I'm so happy that I am my son's dad. I'll tell you guys a story, and I hope someday if he ever sees this, he won't be upset about it, but like, about 2 years ago, he gets emotionally flooded, right? I don't know if your kids, like, sometimes they just, there's a scenario that for them, it's a button that pushes that they just see red. That happened to me.
Yeah.
And we were playing indoor hockey. Actually, Sam was there, and, you know, it's my other son, and we're all 4 of us, and he loses it. And he just, like, goes crazy. And I said, all right. I went upstairs, and we sat in his room, and he's just like screaming and angry and rocking. And I had done some kind of primal work. And I said, hey buddy, we're going to let it out right now. And he's like, I don't want to. I said, we're going to do this right now. Me and you, buddy. And I just held the space for him. And I sat there and I said, I don't want to scare you, but I'm going to go first. I'm going to show you what's going to happen. And he was just screaming. And I'm like, all right. I need you to know it's coming. And I just let it go. And he stopped. And then he felt it. And I said, now it's your turn. And he let it out, man.
Yeah.
He let it out. And it was just like this, just energy. Relief. Oh, dude, this energy just flowed out of him. And the vibration, and we're sitting there. Now it's just me and him in his room, but you know, Sam came up really quick, knocking on the door. You guys okay? Yeah. And I go, dude, we're so okay.
Yeah, we're good.
And we just sat there. And I said to him, I said, you need a few minutes before we go back downstairs? And he goes, yeah, but I'll be there.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
dude, really I'm cool. so...
that's awesome.
I'm so lucky that I'm his dad.
Yeah.
I'm just
and like, vice versa, dude.
That right there will help a lot of people, man. Because I know I've got three out of my five kids that are pretty ADHD, but one of them that... something like that would help him.
Yeah. You know? And I'm glad I did the work so that I could be the person that could bring him those tools.
Yeah.
So, I mean, being the person that you are, I mean, doing the ultra marathon stuff, like you're an active individual, right? Yeah. And when you were younger, you were active in a negative way.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're just kind of pointing.
I always had this superpower. Acumen, just it wasn't legal.
Yeah.
My dad always said that. He was like, if you could just find something you're passionate about that's not illegal, might do okay.
You might win entrepreneur, Canadian entrepreneur of the year. Yeah.
Are you going to figure this out?
Yeah. So, like having now you as their parent, right, with the experiences that you've had and how you've turned, you know, what seemed to be a kryptonite, this overreactive, hyper ADD, into something that's completely positive, and you're now their example. You are the environment that they live in, right? Yeah. And so they're watching you in the way that you let it out, right? Through the way that you push yourself on a physical basis or on a daily basis physically, right? Yeah. And so, like, are they gravitating towards some of these things with you?
It's so beautiful.
You know, just last Sunday, I ran 8 miles with my 8-year-old for his 8th birthday, right? And so it's like, I've never asked him to do that.
Nope.
It's an idea that he came up with by himself because of that. And so it's like, I think it's a massive blessing that these kids of yours have you as a father because of the example that you're setting and then the environment that you're creating. And I just want people to understand when you create an environment like that, maybe sometimes not even on purpose, you're just trying to become the best version of yourself. And by default, that's the environment that they're in. They're going to win because of that too, right? Yeah. And so I want you to kind of talk a little bit about maybe some of the monkey see, monkey do that's happening within your household. And maybe by design, maybe you're doing it on purpose because you're like, hey, I know that they need an outlet, whether it is hockey or mountain biking or running or whatever, right?
Here's what I know because I experienced it. As a kid, when my parents thought that we didn't hear, see, or were aware of what was going on, we knew. When you're a little kid and your parents are fighting, but they're trying to hide it, we know, we hear.
Yeah.
So I remember when the kids were little, my wife would say, like, they don't understand. I go, babes, they understand.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to be super intentional about the energy, the language, the words, even just the description. Mm. Like when they're little and they do stuff and a teacher says like, oh, he's so good at this or he's better at this than his brother. I go, no. That's not true. Just because you say it, don't make it true.
Yeah.
So why don't you say it to the other one? And here's what I learned is people will live into their labels. Think about that. They will live into their labels, man. Oh, yeah. If a kid was born and you just said you're angry all the time, the kid would just be like, I'm not angry. And it eventually would be like, I guess I'm angry all the time. Yeah. And what do angry people do? They do this, they do that. Like that's what happened to me. They literally said, you know, I wasn't allowed to play with the kids in my neighborhood. So we'd have to go hide in the woods. So then I created this identity that I was always a bad kid. I was a troubled child. Like, and I wasn't though, man, at my core, my heart, man, I was a love bug.
Yeah.
But it never computed with the identity that I'd been given through those labels.
Mm.
So how intentional am I about this? Incredibly. Yeah. Since they were in car seats, they've been coming to CrossFit with us.
Yeah.
Okay. So like they've sat on the CrossFit gym while their mom and dad were working out since they were babies, 5 days, 6 days a week, every Sunday as a family. They've always been to my races. We do racecations. I want them to show them because I believe watch my feet, not my lips.
Yeah.
Watch my feet.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. I want you to see what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm incredibly intentional about it because I have a real problem, honestly, with dads that tell me their kids are the most important thing. And I said, yeah, do you want to be their hero? Mm-hmm. Dude, you don't even listen to you. And you're pissed off your kids don't listen to you. You don't listen to you.
Yeah.
Like I have no problem being honest about it because I wasn't always the best at that. And I've had to work through it. And I just want to express to people that if you truly want to be your kid's hero, then ask yourselves, are you acting like it? Do they look up to you or do they look up to some other guy, right?
Well, are you just pursuing the best version of yourself on a day-to-day basis? Are you? That's the question.
No, like, and if you're not, you know what I mean? Find a bigger why. And I think your why, your kid should be the biggest why in the history of the world. I love that your wife said that to you, dude. When my wife told me she was pregnant, I grew up in addiction. Mm-hmm. I knew I shouldn't have drank. I started drinking 2 years after I got out of rehab, and that lasted more than a decade.
Yeah.
But when my wife told me I'm pregnant, and it wasn't even at first. I don't want to lie to anybody. It was probably, you know, month six of her pregnancy, and I drank too much by myself. And she's like, I can't believe you're drinking. You know, we're on vacation by myself.
Yeah.
And I just realized I can't continue this in my family. This has got to stop. It was a simple equation. If I don't quit drinking over the next 50 years of us being together, there's zero chance that I don't make a mistake. I don't do something I regret that causes massive pain to my family. And I'll tell you, I've been sober 11 years and my son is 11 years old.
Yeah.
And we celebrate every May.
There's a correlation there.
We celebrate. You know, how long have you been sober? Ask Max how old he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And I'll tell you that why we'll move mountains.
Yeah. So when you were younger, was it just alcohol or was there, you know, drug addiction and
not
problems
feeling.
And all that? Yeah.
If you anything said, if you pulled out your hand out of your pocket and said, I got some magic pills, I'd be like, give them to me.
Yeah.
People say, what's your drug of choice?
Yeah.
Being fucked
whatever,
up.
Yeah. Whatever you
What have. Are you talking about? Yeah. I don't want to feel. Yeah. I don't love myself. I feel like a piece of crap. And if you're going to give me something that's going to make me not feel this way, sounds good.
Yeah.
So for these entrepreneurs that listen, because I mean, our following is all entrepreneurs. It's like, man, they do want to be better at home. And we've had to go through our grind. We've had to learn a lot of the same stuff the hard way, you know? And dude, the way you described your childhood being told you're angry, it's like totally me. Like I'm sitting here like, holy shit, that was me, man, you know?
Yeah, we live into our labels. Yeah.
But man, like we get so confused as entrepreneurs, like how can I build this business and take care of all these people and their families and then still give at home? And it really does come with like your strategies on buying back your time. And so I know majority of the entrepreneurs that listen to our podcast, they're barely touching seven figures. They're owned by their business. They don't know where to start buying back their time. Yeah. And you brilliantly laid out in your book on how to start with like, getting assistance simple. And doing it
cheap.
Yeah.
Effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this
Give
is the thing.
Give them some
game
on that.
Yeah. Here's the deal is I'm going to talk to the person that knows they're stuck. They're at that pain line. Mm-hmm. And first off, I want to encourage them to consider that they are worth investing in themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. They're worth it. Like most people just don't value their time.
Yeah.
And I can prove it. If I look at your account, it's like you'll literally drive across town to go buy a $3 item to drive, you know, you'll waste an hour. Like, or like they just don't value their time. It's like at the end of the day, like start with the self-worth, start with the importance on protecting you as the CEO of the business, your energy, not even your time, dude, your energy.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let's just start. That's why I talked about the five time assassins in the book, chapter three. I had to explain that because it'll cost you zero to buy back your time. Yep. No dollars spent, a lot of time bought back if you work your way through the five time assassins. But let's say you now are at a point where you're like, hey, I need to deploy dollars to do that. On chapter five, I talked about the replacement ladder. So you're not there yet. And I can't, like, I'm telling you, man, you're going to like.
I just like the, it's the buyback principle.
Yeah, buyback principle.
The pain, the audit.
That's the buyback loop.
The loop, sorry. Yeah.
So the buyback principle states we don't hire people to grow our business. We hire people to buy back our time. And the reason why, if you do the second, you'll get the first. But if you do the first, you don't get the second.
Well, you might have just talked over people. So if you do the first second, but then the second,
so
then
the first.
So think
about this. It's a calendar over capacity thing. See, most people hire to add capacity.
Okay.
It's logical. I've got an e-commerce company and I'm shipping stuff and I'm busy packaging. So I need to, I got to package more stuff. Here's the thing is I would argue that whatever drives revenue for your business, you should just do more of that. And then look at your calendar and hire anything that is not that out of your calendar.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're a logo designer, don't hire somebody to design logos because you're busy. Hire somebody to take care of the rest of your life so that you can spend 40 hours a week or 35 hours,
designing
whatever you want.
Logos.
What a crazy idea.
Yeah.
But nobody does it that way.
No.
They always start with capacity.
So Picasso should not be picking up his own paint.
No.
He should just be painting.
Andy Warhol. It's called The Factory. Yeah, no. I talk about in the book. I literally unpack all these people we all admire in the book to show you they literally did it opposite of you. And the reason why is because people need to create a way to build a business they don't grow to hate. Yeah. Right. And if every time I go to grow, it feels painful to my calendar or to everybody else, you just won't grow.
Yeah.
But if every time you go to grow, you get more freedom, you'll keep growing.
Yeah.
So I literally teach a replacement ladder to say, start with the simple stuff, the admin stuff, the tasks, the research, the errands, all that stuff. And you focus on things that make you money. And then I teach how to fill up your calendar with things that actually allow you to grow and light you up. Yeah. Yeah. So me, it's the cost of something, having somebody else do it, right? So that's the first one. But it's also, is it taking my energy or giving me energy?
Yeah, the energy expense.
Yeah. Yes. So like highlighting things in green that give you energy and highlighting things in red. And again, giving yourself permission to renegotiate with people. Hey, you know what? I don't like doing this anymore. And I know I said I'd do this, but we need to figure out a different way.
Yeah.
It's not feeling good anymore. It might be literally a daily stand-up, a weekly meeting, or whatever it is. But all I know is that when entrepreneurs go from green to green to green to green types of projects and activities, man, they get home at the end of the day with plenty of energy for their family.
Yeah, but most people value money over their energy. They're willing to sacrifice themselves, and they believe if I am doing the greater work because I'm giving more to my family, I'm this, my employees, da da da.
Yep.
Like if I'm the sacrificial lamb that has to go down in order for all of this to continue, then I'll do it.
Cool.
Or some people just take pride in the very thing that they bitch about. I'm the guy, but then they bitch about having to be the guy all the time.
Cool. Then accept you'll always play small.
Yeah.
Except that you won't get to fly around a fucking jet. I'm just being honest with
you. Who's the author you talk about in there? Because I feel like a lot, like what hitting on what you're talking about, a lot of people just can't get over like this like ethical or them feeling like a fraud or this imposter syndrome. But you talk about an author in your book, that main author, what's his name? The big one where he's like, Gerber? He ended up hiring people to write.
Tom Clancy. Yeah.
Tom Clancy.
Yeah. People don't realize like Steve Jobs, Tom Clancy, Andy Warhol, Oprah, Buffett. Like this is the pattern that all Elon, they all follow it. Gary Vee, all of them follow the same process, except nobody knows until you find out it hurts and it sucks and you don't grow. And then you hire Devin or somebody else and like they show you and they're like, oh no, this is like, because people always go like, when do I hire an assistant? I'm like, dude, it's the first hire. I didn't put it at the bottom of the replacement ladder as a suggestion.
Yeah.
Like I start a company today, the first hire is an administrative assistant. Why? Because I want to spend all my time acting like your top sales guy.
Yeah.
Right? That guy's awesome. I can tell he's making it rain.
He's amazing. Yeah.
He's talking to clients and then if he had to, he'd fulfill. And then everything else around that, you'd give to the administrator to process accounts receivable, invoices. Can you get us lunch today? Because if I lost it all today and I started from scratch, it's literally I would borrow the money from you guys. Can you guys lend me some money to hire an assistant? You guys cool with that 60 grand? Is that pleasurable? Maybe. I'll give you a 2X ROI in about 2 months. Done. Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
But I know I could take that investment because all I would do would be talking to people to create opportunity and fulfilling that opportunity.
Yeah.
And while I'm going out there doing this and making it rain, I'm throwing it over behind me and they're taking it and they're putting it in the right place. It's a math equation. It's like physics. Like there's no argument that you can't build $1 million company off $10 tasks. Mm.
When I was like the first time I got really overwhelmed, and I'm only saying this because people can do it for way cheaper than they think.
Way cheaper.
But like I was going out constantly, like networking, finding all these referral partners. And I'm like spending my time. I'm 11 o'clock in the night on the phone with them, texting them, you know, like whatever. Reports were off. Why? How come you guys didn't get the leads called? You know, all this stuff, right? And then I'm like on Mondays, the reports are due, right? And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So I start doing them Sunday so that I'm not giving up my Monday. And I'm just taking more. And I'm like, oh my gosh, man. And like I finally come in one day and I'm like, it was Giovanna worked here. And I was like, I will pay you just an extra $100 on Sunday if I can train you to just send these reports out. Because our CRM didn't do it yet. It was a manually done thing. I'd have to go pull our reports, you know, put them in. And there was a special way, you know, you talk to them because you're always building a relationship with them. So I'm like, I want you to send them from my email. I want you to sound like me. And so I trained her in 1 week how to like send these reports. And now I didn't have to do that Sunday night. before work on Monday, and it was like $100 a week.
Yeah,
you know,
and the energy
like,
changed.
I didn't have an assistant yet, but I was like, oh my gosh, man! Like, just one person on my staff would do that for $100 a week, and they loved it.
That's what I tell people. Like,
that's a car payment.
You have folks in your life that, like, my buddy called me one day. He's like, hey man, like, I'm overwhelmed, blah blah blah. And I was like, dude, there's stuff you're doing. I know at the house you shouldn't be doing. He's like what? I said, do you clean your own car? He goes, yeah. You put gas in your own car? Well, yeah, Dan. Everybody does. I don't have in years. Well, why not? Because I got somebody to do it. Well, I don't have in my life a Betty. I go, do you have a cleaning lady? He's like, yeah. Okay, she drives to your house and she cleans your house, right? Yeah. Do you think she's capable of taking your car to the car wash, cleaning the car, filling up with gas and bringing it back? Do you think she might want some more money?
Yeah.
She's already at your house. Yeah. And he's like, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. Mm. Again, people think like, for even like, I remember one of the first hires, Stephanie I hired, it was like she was doing accounts receivable, publishing on social media, editing my blog
post. 13
like,
different things.
Yeah. It was literally, I just made a list of all the things that were taking my energy that was not hard to train somebody else. And then I just put it in a bucket and I said, can you please do me a favor and support me? Like, I really want to go do this other thing and I'm good at it. Can you do this? And guess what? She loved doing it.
Yeah.
She loved it. She loved to take care of me, seeing me out there doing what she didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And she loved it because it was a task list at the end of the day. She felt accomplished, all this stuff. And I just think too often we have all these conceptions about like how teams should be structured and who to hire and got to hire a person to only do this. It's like, I started a business. I wore 17 hats.
Yeah.
And other people are humans and they're really resourceful and they manage their own house. Like some people are like, how do you find a house manager? The people in the city you live in, do they live in a house? Yeah. Do they manage the bills and the car payments and the maintenance and the da da da?
So every
person in your city is qualified to do this job. Yeah. Why do you think they're special? Yeah. I don't know. Okay, perfect. Go find anybody.
I guess
anybody.
You got to check their credit score.
I always get anybody's touching my finances. Yeah, I need a credit score report.
Yeah,
you get the references.
If you got good credit, you know how to pay bills.
But they think that it's like this magical school that I hire from. And I'm like, no, I just find people great.
That's what you should do is create a magical school people can hire from. And all you do is just do the same thing you do for yourself. And then,
you could read the book for like $30 or you can pay me lots of money to hire them.
Exactly. So right now, like what? Is this your thing for that's driving the driving factor of all your businesses right now? Like you just talked about, hey, I got him, going all in on media. Why?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of stuff. There's not never one thing. Okay. Yeah. So for example, I've known Gary Vee since the Wine Library TVs, like back in the day, 13 years ago. So, I mean,
when everybody was making fun of him,
everybody, social media, you're an adult, don't stop being a kid. Like, I remember people like, you should be on YouTube. I'm like, I'm an adult. Like, I'm not going to, like,
that's what I said about TikTok. I'm like, I don't dance.
I'm not going to eat crop tops. Right. Like, I'm not that coordinated.
I'm not that funny, dude. My regimen is very boring. I do the same thing every day.
Yeah. There's nothing interesting.
Yeah.
And, and then over the years lately, I think, just as I kind of got into like coaching a lot of high level CEOs, I started getting invited to a lot of like the different masterminds and stuff and meeting the people and watching them. And they just like, they had a higher level content game. Mm. And I would give a lot of credit to Alex Hormozi. So like him and Layla have been friends of mine for a while and we're in Vegas and Sam, who's here, he's always been part of my team for a long time, but and I have a $100 million holdco where we buy software companies and, a lot of the deal flow comes from like the marketing, but essentially I just did enough to do it, but I didn't do enough to be serious about it. Does that make sense? Like I publish every week on Monday. I haven't missed a week in 9 years.
Yeah.
But did I look at my click-through rates, my average view durations and my-
You were just going through the motions of giving yourself credit that you did this thing.
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
I've got a checklist. It's called content marketing.
It's like going to the gym. Sometimes people go to the gym. They were there for 45 minutes.
But I went to the gym.
Or an hour and they were talking for 30 of it. Kind of did some tricep pull downs and then they leave.
That's most people go to the gym.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say the most common thing is a consistent man that's got no results. Yeah. Because they do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The gym. We see them. They're keeping the lights on at the gym.
Yeah. They're paying the bills. But so I'm having dinner with them and we're talking about like lead flow. And I'm like, how's acquisition.com? And they just share the numbers, man. And they just, it's pure math. When you look at reach and reputation, if you invest in that, everything in your life. So what happened at that point, this was probably 4 months ago, was the book came out in January. Mm-hmm. And that's what was like, oh, enough's enough, Dan. Like, I wrote a book hoping some people would read it, but it got Wall Street Journal bestseller.
Yeah.
And then I remember meeting you and you were telling me that you'd read it. And I was like, holy crap, people are reading it. So all of a sudden I started to experience the reputation showing up before I showed up.
Mm.
And I thought, oh wow, this is really fun. I get to talk to people about the thing I love most about, but they already know the thing. So then we get to have fun about like how to do the thing. Right. Mm. And that was when after talking to Alex and many other people, I just said, you know what? If I look at my life, of what I want to accomplish, right? My big vision about having an impact and serving at-risk youth and you know, creating a lot of wealth for a lot of people in my life, and I enjoy this, I should probably just do this.
Mm.
And I'll tell you, man, that was a scary decision.
Yeah.
Like literally to say, guys,
everybody else run the show.
You guys are good.
Yeah.
I trust you. I love you. If you need to hire a CEO, let's hire you CEO. Da, 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 da. My ego's not attached to this anymore. I'm going to let the team build the business and let me go do me because I know how to do that pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And trust that I think really magical things are going to happen. Yeah. And I'll tell you, man, and I'm re-energized. It's more creative. Yeah. It's fun. We got a 4,000 square foot studio that we're building out. A bunch of buff. You met my video team. Yeah, they're all like 21. They eat about 115 grams of protein every day. And literally they were like, we want a squat rack in the gym. Yeah. No, you'll come someday to Canada and you'll come to the studio. There's a squat rack. It's like a clubhouse, but it's in the most.
Everything that you enjoy.
Everything. Yeah. And stuff I didn't even know I wanted in my life, like a PS5.
Why? Such a vital role.
Because my boys get to come play at my studio with me. Every day now at the end of school, they walk or, you know, they come over to the studio.
Yeah.
And if I got time, I go play PS5, Spider-Man. Dude, it's crazy. These games. I never played video games in my life.
I don't have video games.
Don't get one.
I told Cal, I said, dude, I have such an addictive personality.
You and I are cut from the same cloth.
Like, I didn't chew just a dip a day. I chewed a can a day.
Yeah.
I started with painkillers, then I was a heroin addict.
Yeah.
You know?
And then like, it's a slippery slope.
I drink until I black out 4 or 5 times a week, right? Like, I don't run a mile. I like to run 40 of them, you know? So it's very extreme. Yeah. So if I get into video
games. I'll tell you though, but when you come up, you at least will just sit there and play. But it's just like
you're gonna pull me in.
Yeah, just like a little bit. Just try a little bit.
Yeah, first hits
or not. I obviously respect it. But it's become and it's been interesting, dude. Because the other thing about recording everything you say is you gotta be accountable for everything you say.
Yeah.
That's I get it. People are like, some people are like, I don't even want to say anything because I don't want to be criticized for what I say. And that's like them choosing what they're about to say.
Yeah.
I have somebody recording me almost 16 hours a day as I go through my life. And whatever I say is what I said.
Yeah.
So when Joe Rogan says, live a life like somebody's following you around with a camera.
Somebody's following you around with a camera. And I'll tell you.
And has it got you out of bed on some days that you just didn't feel like getting out of bed?
It has had a positive influence on my life every day.
Yes.
Always.
Because you're like, dude, I have to be the example. Somebody's got to do it. Why not?
Dude, writing that book really made me go, hey, am I a 10 out of 10 on my calendar right now? Or am I at an 8?
Yeah.
And in 10, I can't be an 8 in this world because I'm asking people to really go from a 4 to 6. You know what I mean? Like I really have to be
asking them to push their threshold. And so even if you're at an 8, you have to go to 9.
That was
9 to 10.
What's happened.
Like,
right?
Yeah.
And I think what's happened is I've become more of a full spectrum person. Mm. That's the best language. Yeah. So I'm deeper on my faith. I'm deeper on my health. I'm deeper on my relationships because now I know that it's not even just for me. It's an example that I can share with the world.
Yeah.
So being able to show other people the behind the scenes of my life, you know, would I have done 13 podcasts in 2 days if I didn't have a camera guy follow me? Probably not.
Yeah.
But I want to do it to show that you can do it.
Yeah.
So if you just decide to do 2 or 3 in a day, that's probably better than your one. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this man, this is the thing that people got me going on lately is people that just feel tired and then just cancel meetings. Or I'm feeling sick today, so I'm not going to be able to make it. Like that whole thing, we got to like, I'm done.
Stop that shit.
I'm done. If you say that to me, just if you people are my friends and listening to this, you're going to notice my text message replies slow down. I'm done. Like you, how you feel should not dictate
what
how
you
show up. You make a commitment to people. Yeah. You show up. And I just feel like too often that it's weird. It's like people go from not being productive. And then in the day they get up and they work for 2 hours back to back and get a lot of work done. And they go, oh, I deserve the rest of the day off or I'm going to take a break.
Mm.
It's like, what are we doing here? Are we being serious about what we're doing here? Are you being?
Well, feelings are too up and down,
dude.
So if you're relying on that on a decision, okay. Like, dude, everybody goes to. I'm gonna go to the gym in the morning, and then 90% don't because they wake up tired. You and every fucking buddy else. Like, dude,
and guess what? Like, in that moment, you just ate away at your confidence.
Yes.
In that moment, you just told yourself you ain't willing to do what it's going to take when the time gets
tough.
I'm
not worth it.
In that moment, you said, I'm not worth it.
Yes.
And here's what I know. When people say to me that it is, you know, like, how do you have so much self-confidence? I know where I got it because I built it. Because I kept the commitments that I made to myself in private.
Mm-hmm.
Not the public ones. Now I do have a camera 24/7. That's cool too.
Yeah.
But I also know the conversations I'm having with myself. And I'm also know that I made a commitment to get up tomorrow morning to do the thing.
You're keeping receipts right here. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says about you. It matters how you feel about you.
Yeah.
Right? Like the whole world can tell you, Dan, you're so great. You're so great. But if behind the scenes, you know that you're full of shit, it's
dude,
that
you can
that'll
feel it
at you.
Dude, we had a guy yesterday.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam, he knows what I'm talking about. Okay. This is a guy I know. I got to watch out because I'm recorded. So, you know what I mean? Like,
what's his name?
Because if they don't listen to the podcast, they're going to go and see my reels.
What's his name?
Here's the thing, people. No, you know what? I'm just saying. I have a friend.
Yeah.
And this person is shifty.
Mm.
And you know why they're shifty, Trevor? Because they can't fucking do this.
Yeah.
They do this. They can't look at me in the eye and hold a fucking stare because I know that they
something's
know.
Eating internally.
Dude, and they I remember just, I got in the car after I said, hey, man, like da-da-da-da-da feels a little shifty. He goes, hell yeah, dude. I don't know why you're friends with him.
Yeah.
You're right. I don't even know like why. And why would I, if I do care about him and I do, I should probably have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what's going on inside?
Yeah.
Like, I want you to know that I feel this energy. Maybe nobody in your life has ever told you this and I don't know where it comes from. And there might be an opportunity for him to go like, dude, honestly, man, I got to tell you, I have crippling anxiety or I feel worthless or whatever it is. And then from that place, I can be helpful.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, man, I feel it and I guarantee his customers feel it. Yeah. And I guarantee his team feels it.
Yeah.
Man, can you imagine trying to build a business your whole life and you don't know that you're shifty? You feel shifty to people.
That's
and you
incredible.
Have people quit on you every 6 months and you go, why do they keep quitting?
They know, they know everything about themselves, right? And really, are you creating a record of the past for your own brain? For you to be able to feel good in your own body and mind that you know you are who you say you are. And that's
so good.
That's it. That's the fucking game. Fuck what everybody else thinks.
You
fuck
know, say that again.
Everybody
you know
else thinks.
You are who you say you are.
Right? Like when I say I run 7 miles every fucking day, guess what? Because I say it and I wake up and I don't want to do it and I sit there for 30 fucking minutes before I put on my shoes. And I'm like, hey, we have a mastermind. We have all these people. Like I'm supposed to be the example. Time will pass regardless. I might as well just go get it done. 3 minutes in the cold bath, it's going to be fucking shitty, but 3 minutes is going to pass regardless. Why am I not just investing into myself so that in a day, in a week, in a year, I'm showing up as a better version of me? I want to see what the fuck I can do with my life. Like if I continue down this path, who can I become in 5 years or 10 years? What type of mountains can I move? And that excites me because I see where I was when I started this journey versus where I am now. You know, I started with 75 hard. I noticed that you put that in your book. Mm-hmm. And then I committed to 1,000 2-a-days every single day and reading 10 pages every day. 1,000 days in a row. And I'm on day 670 something. It ends September 27th, 2024. No. And guess what? It probably won't end there. I'm going to find the next challenge, the next thing, the next, you know, I'm just like, awesome. Who could I be after 1,000 days?
Dude.
Like it's such a minute period of your life. It's 1,000 days of 70 or 80 years. Like, and you could change your life like that.
Here's why
it's
I incredible. Know I am exactly where I need to be right now. I'm not even joking. If you go to my Instagram right now and you read my latest posts in the caption.
Yeah.
I wrote that 1,000 days. Most people don't reflect where they were a decade ago. Think about it. Think about where you were, your bank account, your headspace, your physical 10 years ago and what you could do. Most people don't realize they're in a decade. I call it a dedicate.
Yeah.
Dedicated decade.
Yeah.
That's what I want to leave everybody with.
Was that, that's in your book too? Cause I remember reading, book? Yeah. Somebody was like, dude, you don't learn from your experiences. We all have experiences every day. You learn and you adjust and you grow from making the time to reflect on your experiences.
Yeah. I love it, man. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this.
This guy, Mr. Live by his calendar. He's got another podcast to do. You already heard 13 podcasts in 2 days. You know, I already told him, hey, if you ever want to run 20, 30 or 40 miles with me, you know, it's there's always an open invite, but yeah. I would take about this much of your calendar. So it's a, you know, 8 to 10 hour trek, but I would love to do something like that with you one of these days.
Amazing. Man. We're excited to share with the community and appreciate you a lot.
Yeah. Thanks for coming out, bro. Yeah, we appreciate
you. If people want to go check out the book, buybackyourtime.com.
That was next,
it's
man.
It's Amazon.
Where Instagram handle.
Instagram is my favorite. Yes. So as you know, like I put like, so Dan Martell, 2 L's of Martell, follow me on Instagram and then send me a message and let me know you heard me from this podcast. And I will actually send people, just write EA and I will send them my internal SOP document. No gated, no email, just the Google doc to it.
Yeah.
The internal one.
Okay.
That's my gift to this audience. There
you go. We appreciate you, man.
Yep. Awesome.
Guys, make sure you share the show. Obviously this one was just full of nuggets from business to family to physical to mental. You know, all of these things are extremely important. There's not one that's more important than the other. It's just about investing into yourself financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of it. So share the show. We appreciate you guys. Keep kicking ass. Until next week, guys. We'll see you.
Peace.